The ITB News Podcast is brought to you by Jordan, Kingdom of Time.
Hello everybody and welcome to the ITB News Podcast. I'm your host, Alex Outhwaite. Now this is a monthly podcast by ITB Berlin designed for the travel and tourism industry. We're going to have a different theme each episode and here you can keep up to date with what happens in the industry, listen to what key decision makers have to say and also anticipate market trends. Now this episode is all about building tourism destination recovery and we've got a great interview coming up with Nayef Al-Fayyaz, who is the Minister of Tourism and Antiquities for the Kingdom of Jordan. But first of all, let's look back at the recent ITB Berlin convention. So for anyone who missed this year's digital ITB Berlin convention, videos of the entire three-day programmes are now on YouTube. There are three events available and the first of these provides access to all of the sessions that took place on day one, which was dedicated to the future and resilience of tourism. The second video available showcases the debates that took place around e-travel and the digital revolution, and the final video looks at responsible tourism, and this includes topics such as the climate crisis and human rights for tourism workers. A recovery in travel is on the horizon. 46% tourism growth is possible in 2022, the highest figure in years, according to a report presented by ITB Berlin and Statista Q. It confirms also the status taken by domestic tourism, which remains more popular than travelling abroad. The industry achieved in 2021 a global turnover of around 260 billion. This year, the figure will probably exceed 353 billion, which is up by 46%, the highest growth rate in recent years. For his first appearance at ITB Berlin, Germany's new Federal Minister for Economy and Climate Protection, Robert Habeck, relayed a strong message about Ukraine, as well as the necessity of respecting the environment when travelling. According to Habeck, German travel generates 8% of all carbon dioxide emissions from tourism-related transport. Travellers need to have a new approach to sustainability and neutrality. We do not want to see travel being a factor of our planet's destruction, said the minister, who pleaded for a better use of public transport alternatives when on the move. We're going to continue hearing about tourism resilience now with this episode's interview, which is conducted by Richard Barnes, with the Jordan Minister of Tourism and Antiquities, Nayef Al-Fayyaz. We're also going to be hearing about the meaning behind the new branding, Jordan, Kingdom of Time. Over to you, Richard.
Excellency, Jordan has recently launched a new campaign promoting the destination as the Kingdom of Time. How important is tourism for the country?
Well, tourism has contributed to around 13% almost throughout the many years. As it was growing and our economy was growing, but it continued to be a major contributor to our economy. So when we say 13% of our GDP, that shows you the size of the contribution of tourism to us, not only in major cities, but also a lot of informal businesses were built around it. So if you want to look at the real impact of tourism, it's much greater than that. So tourism has become a major contributor, and we're looking for tourism to be the contributor of our economy in the coming few years.
Now, how was the tourism recovery last year?
Well, if I may say, how was the impact of the 2020 on our economy on the tourism economy? We had a drop of around 76%. So that shows you the size of the damage that was done to tourism in terms of receipts. But it was not only Jordan, it was globally. So we needed to deal with it and we needed to find ways to start picking up and recovering after securing, first of all, the safety and health of our citizens and our guests, and then put a plan of recovery. So accordingly, we did work on this. And in 2021, we put a target for us. We actually launched a national tourism strategy where it set the goals for us to be able to achieve a recovery, hopefully to go back to where we were by the year 2024 in terms of tourism receipts. So understanding that 2021 was still a challenging year, and we have not recovered globally from the COVID, and there were a lot of changes happening, we set a target to be able to reach, and we have actually exceeded that target with around 21%. So we reached our numbers of around $2.7 billion in the year 2021. And that's almost 21% over our targeted numbers that we put in place.
So very positive news then for 2021. What are your hopes then for 2022 in terms of, for example, tourism arrivals and investments?
First of all, it is positive news in terms of, yes, we are starting the road to recovery. But I remind you, still, we are still far from where we were. Because, you know, our tourism industry and our economy depended on 13% of the GDP, as I said. So, yes, we are moving in the right direction. We are achieving the targets and beyond, which is positive. But still, we're always careful saying we have not recovered yet. And we will need until 2024 to say that we have recovered from the COVID. Saying that doesn't mean that things are not positive. Actually, things are very positive in the sense of that we saw a continuation of tourism investment throughout the years. Tourism investment never stopped in the year 2020. And in the year 2021, we still gave out license for starting the businesses. That means the investment has finished and businesses have opened. So investment continued throughout the two difficult years. And we're hoping that even in the year 2022, the investment will continue in the tourism industry because the potential is still there. At the same time, we are hoping that we will achieve our goals and our targets for the year 2022 by reaching around over $4 billion in the year 2022 in terms of tourism receipts. That is a good recovery. And we're hoping that we will overdo the target that we have put in place. Things are looking a little bit more positive these days in terms of what happened at the end of last year, 2021, where we saw the Omicron variant coming in and changing a lot of things around us. As we were planning that the recovery will continue, so there was a disruption of what was happening. For a short time, December was not as good as we anticipated because of the Omicron. And January also was not as good as it was continuing. And even February was not. The positive thing that January and February for us are not a peak season. They're not the highest season. So they are slower than normal months of the year. So the impact, hopefully, in terms of percentage will be much less. But looking forward from March onward, things will be much better. And at the same time, we have taken steps as the government in easing entry to the Jordan, meaning that we have lifted the PCR requirements that we used to impose on arrivals to Jordan, especially after the Omicron. We started requiring two PCRs, one before within 72 hours before arriving to the country, and one upon arrival. So today we have lifted that and there will be no requirements of PCR on arrival in Jordan. The only requirement will be is that to sign into the form or the website where you could receive a QR code, which will allow you to be able to enter too many places in Jordan with the commitment that in case you felt any symptoms, you are required to do a PCR test. And if the PCR test is positive, then you are required for a 5-day quarantine, self-quarantine in the place that you are residing in.
So that's really easing up then in that case, and it looks like that's going to help a lot, I would imagine. In terms of promotion for Jordan, what are your priorities in the promotion of the country as a destination as we move forward?
Well, as you started your questions, you said that we have launched the Kingdom of Time and we are rebranding and repositioning Jordan, where it definitely expresses the slogan that was used and the logo that's used, the Kingdom of Time. We are a kingdom and we were kingdoms throughout the time. So there are many different archaeological and civilizations that lived within the Kingdom of Jordan throughout history gives it that uniqueness. So we are repositioning Jordan. You know, many people know Jordan for the wonderful sites such as Petra, and focusing on that. Just recently, we have announced a new discovery that dates back to around 9,000 years ago. So that shows you the history and the rich history of the country and what it positions in terms of archaeological and wonderful sites, in addition to the many also supporting, if I may say, supporting places such as nature and diversity of the country. So this combination will help us to relaunch after a period of disruption of our activities and what has happened. But at the same time, marketing Jordan as the destination where visitors should visit immediately, not wait, and not to be on the bucket list, but to be on the top of their list, not within the list.
Now, last year, and I'm sure you were very proud of this, as must have been all the people in your country, As-Salt was named as a UNESCO World Heritage Site, and that was really excellent news. Are there any plans from the government to improve the infrastructure or the city's capacity when it comes to managing tourism flows?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, again, we're talking about As-Salt. As-Salt is still a new product for us, to be very frank with you. It's a new addition to the different experiences that we have in Jordan. The location is very important because it's very close to the capital of Amman. It's only around 20 minutes away from the capital of Amman. So access to As-Salt is easy and convenient. We are preparing that experience within the old city of As-Salt, which the focus is actually on at the moment. So it will be ready for visitors as travelers start coming back to Jordan. At the same time, managing that flow is not an issue and has not been an issue for Jordan because the diversity of the product that we have and the very short distance between locations could give you that flexibility of having different experiences happening at the same time at different locations.
So that was one point, but of course, there are many extremely interesting sites around Jordan. Are there more sites that are being considered for a UNESCO World Heritage Site status, for example?
Yes, I mean, we do have a number of sites that we are working on. Some of them are actually in the desert, and some of them are sites that are being visited today. So we have a list, actually. We have so many. But we are taking it step by step because we want to be able, when we present it to the UNESCO, also at the same time, be able to preserve and protect and continue to manage it in the right way, not only having it as UNESCO World Site. Jordan has a lot of potential for different sites within the country to be listed within the UNESCO World Heritage Site. And there is a list that is being worked on in coordination also with the UNESCO.
Now, as you said, some are being seen as potential UNESCO World Heritage Sites, but there are many other ones. What kind of other destinations are you looking to develop?
Well, it's not only develop. Developing the sites is part of our strategy and priorities. But I have to remind you, we have so many in Jordan. So within the capabilities and the financial capabilities that we have, it is not doable within a short term. So there is a program. There's a program that we are working on many of them. Some of them are sites that are already accessible to visitors, and many visitors go and see them. Others are still new, and some developments need to be worked on. So Al-Harra, which is in the desert of Jordan, is one of the sites that has been on the list that we are working on. The other ones, we are trying to give it priorities. Umm Jamal is another site, one of the ancient cities that are being worked on, in addition to a list of other sites. But these are the two priorities that we are working on. There are other smaller sites that we are working on that might be much faster to work on and list them within the UNESCO. They are being also finalized as we speak. But there is a program where we will see a number of sites coming under the UNESCO World Heritage Sites in the coming few years.
Now, of course, different types of tourism. You're not just talking about five-star hotels. There are some wonderful ecotourism and adventure offerings as well, for example.
Well, definitely. I have to remind you that we launched a few years ago the Jordan Trail, and this has been a success until the beginning of 2022. And this is something that we would continue building on that success and linking the country within the different experiences from trails and experiences, the diversity of the country. Yes, Jordan is a small country in terms of size, but very diverse of the product that it offers. One very important attraction that has actually done really great in the last few years, actually, is Wadi Rum, where it became a place that is sought by many travelers and experiencing the desert in a unique way. And also, the number of movies that were filmed there have been also a great promotion. And the latest was the movie Dune, which was filmed there, in addition to Aladdin and Return of the Jedi and so on. So the many movies that have been filmed there have pushed that site to be sought by many visitors and travelers as unique experience in Jordan.
A very rich country indeed. Well, thank you, Your Excellency, very much for your time today. It sounds very promising for Jordan tourism for 2022. A lot of new offerings, and I really look forward to visiting myself one day.
Well, we're looking forward to having you here, to not only here, but to experience what we're talking about. Thank you for having me with you today.
It's great to hear such positive news coming from Jordan. And now let's hear some further news on destination recovery. Italy's National Tourist Board, ENIT, has revealed its digital strategy for future marketing during the ITB Berlin Convention. The focus of ENIT for the further development of tourism relies on three main pillars. These are environmental, socio-cultural and economic sustainability, and also innovation and digitalization. The aim of this is to strengthen Italy as a destination in the domestic, international and non-European markets. Tourism Malaysia is preparing for the reopening to international travellers, and this has recently been confirmed by the country's Prime Minister. Now, Malaysia's borders for Langkawi Island had already reopened to international tourists last November, as fully vaccinated travellers from a number of countries, including Germany, Austria and Switzerland, could enter the country via an international travel bubble. Just in time for the tourism restart, Tourism Malaysia is celebrating its 50th anniversary this year. Under the slogan, Ensuring the Sustainability of Malaysia's Tourism, a number of celebrations and activities are planned. That's just about all we've got time for this month, but make sure to join us next time on the ITB News Podcast.
This episode of the ITB News Podcast was brought to you by Jordan, Kingdom of Time.